the kind of person that I am, and I like to give everybody a fair break. What I'm doing out of the kindness of my heart, I have here.
Masters of None.
What's up, everybody? It's Masters of None. We are back with another live show.
Wow. Yay!
Woo! Yay! I can see Art and Jay in the same room.
I have to wear clothes this time.
Yeah, what do you wear when you podcast?
Just a t-shirt and boxers.
Come on, really?
And I have my hand down my pants the whole time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jay?
I'm going to just vomit right now. Paints a horrible, horrible picture.
What are you wearing now, Jay?
That paints a picture like a special ed first grade art class.
Like right. A little see-through shirt Jay's wearing right now. It's pretty nice.
It is. It's got the nipples cut out.
You got the nipple tassels on. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Anyway, this is not a show about three creepy 30-somethings. It's a show about wrestling.
Yay!
Yay!
Wasn't
that kind of creepy 30-old-something, too, about wrestling? I mean,
yes, some wrestling is... Guys are definitely creepy.
Yeah.
Like Adrian Adonis for one. Ram.
Oh, dude.
That was weird. And we're going to have a special guest calling in, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Point of possible future edit. Roddy Piper. Well, scheduled to be joining us towards the tail end of this show. And yeah, he had a little thing with Adrian Adonis. Not a gay thing, but like a feud.
Yes.
From what I remember.
Fun fact.
He ripped down because the Piper's Pit was replaced by the Flower Shop with Adrian Adonis, which was awesome. Both names of the shows are hysterical, by the way.
Weird, too, that wrestling, a lot of gay guys in wrestling, yet, like, always, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the frat version, you know, it's always super anti-gay, but yet lots of gay dudes in it.
Dude, I'm not gay!
Yeah. Fucking fag. in the basement of the frat house. Or the backstage of the wrestling. But anyway.
Under the ring.
Yeah. That's why that other killer bee was always hidden under there.
Or Dink the Clown or Doink.
Doink the Clown. Oh, speaking of Doink the Clown. So we came up with we're going to do kind of like a little lightning round kind of thing. We're going to go a little bit all over the place. But we didn't even introduce ourselves. I'm Jay. There's Mike.
Hi.
And Art.
Hi.
Just for the record. And we are live at ustream.tv/simsin. This is just for the record.
We should just have like wrestling intros. If someone like come in, it's like, finally, the show has come back
to New Jersey. Should we shout out the folks in the chat room real quick?
Go.
You can hear their names. Ultact. We got SW Redman, Round a Panda, Gojira Hawk, Eds, Harrison D, Aztec. I think that's it. T Busby.
Everyone. T Busby, holla at your boy.
Bertron in the room now.
Oh, there he is.
Mike's Jersey contingent. Fantastic. So what we did, we this kind of came together kind of last minute. So we were like, oh, shit, we're going to get right out of Piper. I'm going to do a wrestling show. And we came up with a couple of little things we're going to discuss, sort of like a lightning round, best and worst of all time wrestling memory lane type of thing, I guess. So
sounds like a show that I prepped for.
Yeah. So I came up with a couple things here. So did we all watch wrestling as kids?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And not so much now, huh?
No, not at all.
Not at all. When did you fall off the wagon?
When I lost my Ricky the Dragon Steamboat character.
When you like the action figure?
Yeah, the action figure.
Like you lost it, and then you're like, "Fuck wrestling,
this
man!
This sucks. Fuck this."
I was going to say when I lost my virginity, but that's
well, that
for
too.
You when you lost your doll, for me when I lost my virginity.
Interestingly enough, it was the same night.
That's true. Because, hello, Ricky. I don't know if you guys knew this, but if you take a lighter to those rubber legs, the pants come right off.
I think they called him Big John Studd.
Right. And he was the biggest of studs, I'll tell you that. He was my second. Art, how about you? When did you
friend in Illinois left and moved, and he was the only one that had cable in our neighborhood, so we could watch it. So that was
nice.
It.
So it was cheapness for you.
My friend was so much like the dude that we always go to his house and watch. He had, remember all those like those wrestling like the Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan, like those little, those big like pillow dolls.
Yeah,
and stuff
the stuffed
like that.
Animal thing. Yeah,
his whole bed was like his bed was like a big blue thing with like, you know, the rings around it. He would climb in. This guy was like, his family was super into wrestling, and he had all the freaking dolls, man. And this was like back in like when I was in fifth, sixth grade. So this dude was like hardcore into wrestling.
That's gotta be. That's gotta be concerned. I gotta be a concerned parent if my kid is wrestling around with dolls that are men with no clothes on. Like, honestly, they're pillows. It's like, oh, I'm wrestling, and you gotta body slam them, and you inevitably have to grab the crotch to do that. To body slam somebody. I mean, come on, think about it. This is. Wow.
From the chat room, some points where other folks lost out, ended up quitting wrestling. When Sting grew his hair out, when Lex Luger went to prison after Miss Elizabeth died, and I think he was in the room or something like that.
Jesus.
When the Steiner brothers broke up, when The Rock went Hollywood, the Benoit thing, I guess that was enough for somebody. When Kevin Federline appeared on Raw, which
wow.
brings me to one of my questions for you guys. What was the worst celebrity wrestling appearance of all time? For you guys, and there have been many of them, aka Kevin Federline showing up, and pretty much every WrestleMania, like the first 6-7 years, all kind of had one.
Yeah,
for me, I got to go to WCW when they had the one. I think it was Bash at the Beach or something, where it was whoever and Jay Leno versus whoever and Dennis Rodman.
Oh yeah,
do you guys remember?
I remember hearing about that. I never saw it.
Oh, you gotta watch that.
Thank God.
Or no, or was it Rodman versus Karl Malone?
Karl Malone. It was Rodman versus Karl Malone.
What was the Jay Leno thing? Jay Leno was definitely in one of those.
There was a Jay Leno one, though, too,
yeah.
I remember.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. How about you guys?
I gotta say, I gotta go all the way back, and Piper may not like this, but the whole Cyndi Lauper thing, that was really stupid.
Well, he was kind of anti the Cyndi Lauper, so I think he'd have your back on that.
Good, I hope so. Yeah, well, because didn't he like kick her or something? Didn't he like punch her in the face?
Yeah, hopefully.
In one of the things, and because like Captain Lou Albano, God rest his rubber band face soul,
indeed,
was in the one video, so then she had to make the cross promotional appearance in one of the WrestleManias with her high squeaky voice and her, you know, pink tinted hair.
Come on, man, that was the start of the Rock and wrestling connection.
Ew. I don't know what I hate worse, the Rock and wrestling connection or the Rock and rap connection with the, you know, the Aerosmith Run DMC thing. Ew.
Here's a weird story. My sister. You know, I had like all those rubber wrestling guys back in the day. And
oh yeah,
still had them at my old house in Brooklyn. And my sister had Captain Lou sitting on her computer desk for I don't know 10 years or so. Put him away in a box in his storage, and he died like the next day. I swear,
voodoo.
Yeah, I'm like, please do not take any pictures of me down in the room. But totally true. That's freaky, right?
That is pretty freaky.
That's bizarre.
I got a little fun fact. For you.
Fun fact.
I said this in a previous podcast, but I actually personally attended WrestleMania 4 and 5.
Spoiled motherfucker.
Look at you. Yeah, right? Damn.
Trump Plaza, dude.
He's got two phones now going, you know, back-to-back WrestleManias. Shit.
They were both at Trump Plaza, and...
you had the penthouse.
No, we some shitty whatever. But WrestleMania 5, I think, actually, if you look on the video for WrestleMania 5, you may actually be able to see, because we had pretty good seats. WrestleMania 4 was awful. We were way in the back.
You hit somebody with a chair.
But yeah, WrestleMania 5, I was actually Rick Martel. I don't know if you guys know that.
I was going to say, there's a little resemblance there. It's the eyebrows, I think.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Monique fan in the chat room says, remember the time Owen Hart fell? What a silly goose. Now that's...
Well, that's the other thing, too, man. Those...
Oh, here we go. Sorry.
So
yeah.
Many of them.
Aztec, Jay Leno and Diamond Dallas Page versus Rodman and Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's what it was.
Okay.
And a couple other mentions from the chat room. David Arquette won the WCW title.
Yes.
When they had that shitty movie
Ready
out.
To Rumble or whatever.
Yeah.
Pete Rose in the chicken costume from Harrison D. you remember, isn't there a chicken character or wrestler at some point?
Yeah, Rooster. Rooster
no, there was
something.
A Red Rooster, which I
Red
think
Rooster,
was
yeah.
Kurt Hennig or something, was it?
I don't care.
No, but there was literally someone.
It was after WrestleMania 5. What the hell do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was literally somebody who like came out of an egg, or maybe that was the Pete Rose thing. I don't remember. It's bizarre, though. But speaking of that, how about worst characters? Yeah. Worst wrestling characters. And I got to go with Doink the Clown.
I was going to go there, too,
almighty.
Man. That's awful.
A clown? A clown. That's it.
You know what? I'm.
And Doink.
Yeah.
What do your name be? The Killer Clown? No.
No.
Be Doink.
I'm going to be a sound effect.
A sound that. Onomatopoeia, the clown.
Yeah. Mine would definitely be.
Joke right there, but...
Mine would definitely be Tugboat.
Yeah. Like a little sailor hat and like the red and white stripe. There's a big giant fat guy.
Why was he a fucking tugboat? And his little music was like, coo, coo, when he would like walk in the ring.
It's like the Cracker Jack boy grew up and just ate way too much Cracker Jack. And he's like, hey, you're tugboat. You're a wrestler now.
That was the stupidest thing ever.
Good Lord, and nice.
And his manager, Schooner.
Sidekick catamaran.
Sidekick catamaran. Nice. I don't think that was intentional, but. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Art.
Thanks.
Good job, Art.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yes, I'm done.
That was a fucking double whammy of a boat pun right there. Go you.
What was the hurricane and tsunami? What was the
Texas tornado? That one?
No, like the two fat guys that were like, you know, yeah, some type was, of squalls or something?
Oh, no. It was
earthquake.
Earthquake and...
Tsunami or
tsunami. Typhoon.
Typhoon, yeah.
Tsunami was in the Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
Typhoon? Yeah. Was it Typhoon?
Typhoon,
really?
Yep. Yeah. Typhoon. And I think Typhoon became Tugboat, actually. I think. Or something. Or Tugboat pulled a Typhoon or was in front of a Typhoon or something. And then they made and that was the that was based on a true story for the Perfect Storm. That's how they got the I don't know exactly.
How about, speaking of Schooner, the manager of Typhoon or whatever, Tugboat, who's your favorite wrestling manager of all time?
Oh, wow.
Paul Bearer, man.
Paul Bearer?
Paul Bearer.
What a, talk about creepiest.
Dude, that's how, like, talk about, you know, have Undertaker as a creepy dude with his whole eyes thing, and then you have, like, the cake and the frosting, too, with Paul Bearer, man. He was just freaking, he looked like a slimmer, freaked out version of Mr. Belvedere. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's the Undertaker.
Wesley. He looked like a bullfrog.
Yeah, he had Paul like, Bearer. Yeah, he's a huge chin? Neck chin type of thing.
Yeah.
Remember
in the beginning with that whole thing where he would like carry out the urn or whatever? And remember like when the urn would get hurt, like the urn would drop or something and Undertaker would be like, "Arr!" Like you're like a voodoo shit, like he'd like fall down, like something was up with that urn and they never addressed it. Just a number of loose plot ends that they just decided to just roll out.
That's awesome.
Wow, let's see. I think...
Oh, the chicken was the gobbledygooker from Monique Fan.
Ew. I don't remember that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Gobbledygooker.
Lots of votes for any midgets. Have you guys?
Oh, yeah, totally.
What happened to midget wrestling? Remember, it would always be a midget match.
Yeah, it's like, it's little person wrestling now.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's a wee man and a bunch of his friends.
I don't know, man.
Dude, did you ever see I saw a midget wrestling match live.
Wow.
That was freaky, dude.
Was that the ECW
I felt like
event?
My life was in, like, someone pushed fast forward. Because it was like, just flying around. No, it wasn't ECW. It was like, back in the day, we I'd go with my dad and stuff, and we'd go to, like, the church gym shows.
Yeah.
Which were just awesome. It would be like, you know, like, they still do it now, pretty much. You know, you'd get, like, the Killer Bees would be, like, the headliner. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd get, like, one real one and, like, all, like, the no-name guys.
Yep.
And they had a midget wrestling match.
That's awesome.
Scared the shit out of me. Still afraid of midgets to this day. You ever been that close to a midget?
Like
10, 20 feet?
Somewhere? Not without a weapon.
What's the closest you've ever been to a midget?
37 feet.
37? What about you? In a row?
One actually took a ticket from me at a concert. That was pretty funny. Like, ripped a ticket. Okay, come on in.
I always thought it was like a police person giving you a ticket. Like,
no.
I thought you meant like that you had better seats, and they were like, give me that bitch. And they kicked you in the shin.
He's like, hey, come on in. Yeah, Marvin and Bailey Circus. You're in the front row. Thanks. Come on. Thanks for coming. when midgets wrestle in a regular size ring, does it look like just they're playing soccer? Like
yeah,
field,
yeah.
Like that giant?
They throw one against the ropes and it takes them an hour and a half to get to the other side. They have first downs.
Oh,
first down.
I would love if they did, you know, how they, when they have a steel cage match, they bring the cage, you know, from the ceiling.
Yeah.
If the midget started wrestling, they bring like a tiny one, just anchor it from down.
It's like Mousetrap.
Yeah.
Mousetrap.
It's a big foot that like kicks the ball. Some, dum, 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 dum,
some
dum.
Big guy dives into a big bin and
it's like your manager. He needs help. Bail him out. Jump into the bucket.
I think my favorite manager was Mr. Fuji. Get back on that.
Always had the Fuji dust.
Yeah, dude. He was Oddjob's little brother.
Yeah. Did they rip him off of Oddjob or did they rip Oddjob off of him?
I don't know.
That's the question. Or was it the same guy? Looked like him.
Yeah, I think he probably ripped him off of Oddjob. I'm guessing.
Probably. Yeah. Because, you know, they always do that with anything like in pop culture. They just kind of throw in as a new character.
Yeah. Yep. And then they spun off the department store Odd Lot off of Oddjob. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Wait, you know what? I gotta.
You go there and get some like kitchen.
You have a fun fact for Odd
Lot.
No. You reminded me of something though. I remember another really awful character. Remember IRS?
Oh man,
yeah, he's the tax guy.
Money. That's how poor he was. He just had his theme song was just money
awful.
Over and over again.
Yeah,
and
Erwin I Scheister.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it.
Erwin I.
Yeah, that was his name.
You suck.
And wasn't there a dentist too?
Well, the whole briefcase.
Doctor like Pullum or something.
Doctor Pullum.
Doctor Teeth and Electric Shoes. I don't know.
I love the IRS's briefcase. There's always like something magical in there. Like you had to, like.
It's a nail file.
Yeah. It's like Clue all of a sudden.
What about you? What about was your favorite manager there?
That was hard. I really couldn't come up with that. I always loved Bobby the Brain Heenan just because he was such a dick. And that dude would take such a beating always.
I know.
Like someone would punch him and he would literally like do a flip and like land. You'd do like a 1.5.
Flip
and
into
then,
a cup.
Yeah. And he was just always getting thrown around in his like little kind of like sparkly black like half zip thing. Yeah. He was getting like all like whacked out of shape. But
what exactly made him the brain too?
Because he got behind all the best bad guys, dude. He was like the best bad guy manager. But I also liked
Jerry Jones.
I also liked Jimmy Mouth of the South Heart.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And his megaphone.
Yeah.
He had like a big mouth on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pink. That guy was great. I love when some of the older, you know, mid to late 80s or whatever, some of the best things you could ever hear were when they come around to the side and the mouth was talking, and he never really realized the camera was there, and he was just cursing up a storm.
Yeah, you'd always catch him cursing.
You always catch him cursing, and that actually reminds me of this one time I was one of the SummerSlams. I think they shot over to an interview with Mean Gene Okerlund, and he was interviewing I don't know Ravishing Rick Rude or some bullshit, and some other guy who's dead, and all of a sudden, the sign behind them, the big SummerSlam sign, just fell, and Mean Gene Okerlund was like, "Ah, fuck it!" Like, and they quick cut away.
Nice.
That was great.
Well, speaking of announcers, what was with Lord Alfred Hayes?
Remember that guy?
He's like this like British dude. He like had no business being there. It seemed like what the fuck? All of a sudden, it's just like Mean Gene and like Jesse the Body would be the announcer, and then it would be Lord Alfred Hayes. Where did he come from?
Bring a regalness to it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, speaking of the British guys, Stephen Regal.
Stephen
the other
Regal.
British guy.
Yeah. And the British Bulldog.
Yep, the British Bulldogs. I was a big British Bulldogs fan.
Another dead one.
Yeah. They're like all the... Oh, there we go. Gojira Hawk hooking it up. The dentist was Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Isaac Yankum?
Ew.
You know you're at the bottom of the barrel when all you can come up with a character is fucking a dentist. You're going to be the bad dentist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. Oh, Harrison D. saying that was Kane before he was Kane.
Really?
No way.
Wow. Holy shitty gimmick to a pretty good gimmick.
Nice.
Right there.
Wow.
That's a hell of a leap. Worst of first right there. Worst.
Yeah.
Who's the hottest celebrity, hottest wrestling chick of all time? Whether manager or just valet, as they call them in the biz.
The valet.
Hoover?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, what's her name? Sable? Remember them?
Uh-huh.
Sable?
They came in later.
Yeah.
That was
Stacy Keibler?
Oh, dude.
Stacy Keibler, winner.
Yeah. You know what?
Winner.
I officially
Hands
changed,
down.
I officially right changed my vote. I could, that was the only one I could think of.
Yeah. Well, come on. You got Miss Elizabeth. The original.
Elizabeth.
Also did.
Will you marry me? Dig it.
Oh, remember that.
Was slipped you. It's a match made in heaven and a match made in hell.
It was when fucking Randy Macho Man Savage got married, and then the next match was like him fighting
the Undertaker,
Warrior
or something.
Or something. Yeah. Ultimate Warrior, who was a fucking crackpot. I was watching today a video of him on the Arsenio Hall show.
Who, Macho Man?
No, Ultimate Warrior. Ridiculous, dude. He comes out, he runs into the stage, and the first thing he do is flips the couch and starts like looks like he's going to eat it. Like, it was, like, ridiculous. We got to post that one.
He was
up
before
that's
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, check out.
And then he goes and he sits right on Arsenio's, like, the arm of Arsenio's chair. Like, he's basically sitting in his lap.
Does he just grunt when he asks him questions?
He was just talking, oh, my little warriors.
And I'm guessing he was in full makeup.
Oh, totally.
Muscle bands and all that.
Yeah, those yep. Muscle bands, dude.
That dude like loved green. Fringe. Could not get enough fringe.
The lime green and the hot pink ones. Holy
he did.
Shit.
He looked like an 8-year-old girl's bike.
That's awesome Photoshop right there.
Wow.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. Check out mastersofnoneshow.com for the video of the Ultimate Warrior on Arsenio and the 8-year-old bike side by side. A couple votes in the chat room for Lita as a hottest wrestling chick. She's a red haired chick hung out with the Hardy Boys.
Oh, yeah.
She was always like that freaky goth chick.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She was going to mess you up.
She was like, she's fuck you.
She was like hot while like she was moving around really fast. But then when she's like stopped and you got a close up, it was like, ooh.
Oh, really?
Like one of those. Like she looked good while her hair was flying around and like you couldn't really see her.
She had a butterface. A
little motion blur. She was a gal who always benefited from a little motion blur.
Nice.
Then when HD came in, she just left wrestling.
Yeah, right. It's over.
You're gone.
Just that horrible giant shoulder tattoo. Hey, why do girls do that to themselves?
Ugh.
Get like the full, ugh.
Do you remember recently that chick that went from GoDaddy to then became a wrestler?
Which one?
Yeah.
There's so many generic chicks in and out. She's like, you can't keep track of them, and they're all just fake tits. And
but no, the funny thing I was going with that is it's like she was like pretty hot in those Super Bowl GoDaddy commercials, and then like they put her on
brunette?
WWE. Yeah, the brunette. I forgot her name.
Candice Michelle from the channel.
Yeah, that's
Dingy
nice.
8 coming in with that. Thank
and then
you
all of a sudden, like she looked like almost like Arnold Schwarzenegger face, where she's got like probably like all the like steroids and shit like that. Just like she was hot, and then like that was just like a bad transformation.
Dude, I'll tell you what though, man. I'll take fucking Gina Carano any day.
I don't know who that is.
She's the MMA fighter, the really hot one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, dude.
Like, she's in that Pepsi commercial.
She's crazy hot, and she can really kick your ass. Really.
Monique fan in the chat room says, Mike's impression of the Ultimate Warrior sounded like the troll in Ernest Scared Stupid. Did you get a more random reference?
Well,
I like
long,
it, though.
As long as you don't give me any milk, I'll be fine. That's also a reference from that movie.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Explain
that's
the joke.
Mike's girlfriend,
thanks,
apparently. Mike's girlfriend, apparently, setting him up from the chat room now. Didn't want to bring her in the building, so he has her out in the car.
Next live show, she needs to be here.
Yeah. Well, eventually, Mike will be replaced by his girlfriend. Don't tell Mike that. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Fun fact.
China. A couple votes for China as the hottest wrestling chick.
Ugh. What? Who's that guy?
I think they're in sarcasm.
Oh, okay.
It's sarcasm font. Tori Wilson. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Oh,
she's
yeah,
probably
that's
up
one.
There. She's pretty hot.
Didn't she do the Playboy?
Travis wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I don't dig the fake giant fake boobs, man. I don't get it. Stephanie McMahon was kind of hot before she got the fake boobs.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There will be an episode coming up at some point.
I love them.
Was Tori, what's her name?
Tori Wilson.
Didn't she do the spread with Sable in Playboy?
Yeah, they were both in Playboy.
Yeah.
She wins that. She wins that battle.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, who else do we got here? How about...
I got a fun fact, little fun story.
Go.
In Gold's Gym in Manchester, New Hampshire, when I used to work out there, all of a sudden there was like a big to-do, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? The Triple H was there working out, because I guess he lives up in the New Hampshire region and shit like that.
Yeah.
And,
he lives in Canada?
Yeah. And he was hanging out there, and it was funny. Like he's obviously a big, big dude, but like height-wise, he's not that tall, but just... Freaking obviously jacked.
He's wider than
out.
He is tall.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And my friend Brian, I'm like, hey, dude, ask if you can spot him.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Mind if I spot you and then my friend will spot me spotting you? Because I'm pretty weak. How about the worst idea for a gimmick match of all time?
Oh.
A gimmick match, you know? steel cage, ladder match, the Hell in a Cell. I got to say, for me, it's the barbed wire match they had in ECW where, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, here's a bat with barbed wire or, you know, we're going to put some barbed wire in the corners or whatever. They took the ropes off and replaced the ropes with barbed wire. Seriously, it was Terry Funk versus Sabu, and the ropes were just barbed wire. The Sabu. Guy Sabu ripped his, like, arm, and they must have had, like, gouged it so bad that he took, like, an entire roll of, like, medical tape and wrapped the entire arm in it.
Damn.
To basically keep himself from bleeding to death. And by the end of it, they were both completely wrapped in barbed wire and tangled up in it to the point where they had to cut them out of it.
Ah.
Yeah. Just blood everywhere. Insane.
That's god awful.
Insane.
I gotta say the what was it? It gotta be like a Brutus Barber Beefcake one or something.
Haircut
like,
match, yeah. Yeah. That's rough when they have to get their haircut at the end.
Haircut.
Yeah.
That's great, man. You know? Hey, can we set this up for every 2 weeks? Because my hair grows really bad. This would be great. I don't really care if I win or lose. I just need a haircut.
Here's an interesting haircut match. They did one in ECW. Haircut match story. They did one in ECW. It was Raven and somebody.
Yeah.
And the guy who's supposed to buzz his hair was supposed to bring the buzzers or whatever. So one way or another, the guy fucked up, and he got, like, goat shears.
Oh, shit.
And proceeded to scalp him, basically.
Oh!
Because he didn't just get regular buzzers. And so there he is cutting him, and you just see blood, like, following the trail of the fucking shears. And he's just, like, screaming but trying to hold it in because that's the whole payoff for the whole match.
What?
So he proceeded to basically...
Is that on video somewhere?
I believe so. I think it was he was kind of like an announcer guy who like was sort of like played like a devil character in
Let's
ECW.
See if we can find that on YouTube or something. That'd be
sick, dude. It is on one of the ECW tapes. Not tapes, DVDs. Save
no,
wrestling.
Tapes.
You just
tapes.
Think tapes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty sick. Like you just see his old blood coming off.
Oh, shit.
And like, they can't stop. He's got to get his haircut. Freaking sick.
Jesus. That sucks.
Yeah. Oh,
damn.
Yeah, the Hells in the Cells were always good, too, where, like, the one where Mick Foley goes off the top through the table, off the top of the cage. Ever see that?
Yeah.
Kind of famous
yeah.
clip. That's pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
ECW just wins on every gimmick. Like,
yeah.
Really insanely dangerous match of all time.
They do really weird stuff. Like, they're like, all right, we're going to put you in this ring with a gorilla and a shark. Whichever one he comes out first gets to have an all-you-can-eat barbecue rib night at the Sizzler.
Like, what? What does that mean?
I think they did get paid that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Sizzler gift certificates. They do some crazy shit in Japan as well. I know.
Are they calling it?
No, like 9:30.
Yeah, I know Mick Foley did a couple matches where there were just some sort of boards with explosives on either end of them. So,
what?
Yeah, like literally explosives. Like, he'd get slammed on a board, and on either side there'd be some sort of small bombs that would blow up.
Dude, Mick Foley's a badass, though. He's gone through some shit.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's actually doing stand-up now.
I heard.
He's coming to my town, right by my town.
Is he really?
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can get him on.
Nice.
That'd be kind of. He's, like, doing it mainly for, like, to benefit some kind of, Ram Foundation, something like that.
I heard that he doesn't.
Randy the Ram Foundation.
It's not necessarily like straight stand up where he just kind of like tells stories. He just kind of like tells stories from the road.
Yeah.
It's just kind of
like Henry Rollins sort of.
Yeah.
Like spoken wordy slash stand up kind of thing.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
It's pretty cool, man. Like he's got to have like so many interesting stories.
Yeah.
And if someone boos him, he just beats the shit out of him.
I think I read his first two books. His first two books are pretty cool.
First two? How many does he have?
He has at least three just like books about like him telling stories and stuff, and then he like wrote a few kids' books.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And he's got a book
and he has a novel too, I think.
He's got a book called Hospitalized, and it just talks about all like times he's been in the hospital.
What?
Just fucking around with that. I have no idea.
You suck. You totally could have let me go on that one. I have no idea.
Who's your guys' favorite tag team of all time?
Oh,
hands down, Bushwhackers, man.
How did I know that one? That was easy for
those crazy Aussies, man.
Aren't they Kiwis? Up. I thought they were Kiwis.
I don't know. I
Who gives a shit what they were, but just doing the freaking arm motion and just beating the shit. They had like,
they
like
lick each other's heads.
Curly on crack.
Yeah, yeah. They lick each other's heads. They have like no teeth.
Yeah.
That was hysterical. Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, it was either fucking Demolition. Or
is that Legion of Doom or is that totally
that's
different?
The Road Warriors? Weren't they all like the same people?
I don't know. Maybe. No, didn't Legion of Doom fight Demolition or something?
Who are the Road Warriors then?
That's the Legion of Doom.
Dude, for me, anyone with spiky shoulder pads is just the same guy.
Yeah.
And that's face paint.
That's in the Raider crowd.
No, Demolition was the one that looked like Kiss paint, Kiss makeup, and Legion of Doom was the one that looked like Road Warrior.
Mm.
Yeah, those guys. Those guys are pretty badass.
Some votes coming in for the Hart Foundation, the Hardy Boys, Kane and Undertaker, the Dudley Boys. I like the Dudley Boys, dude.
Dudley Boys.
Again, I was, you know, huge WWF fan of the day, and then off of wrestling for God knows how long, and then ended up, you know, getting a gig producing an ECW wrestling radio show,
nice.
Which came on after a show I did.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, all right, more money, okay. And just got into that, dude. Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray Dudley would actually come into the studio pretty much every week. It's just a fucking funny dude, and they're just insane. They're just fucking insane. I've seen them slam through tables on fire, covered in thumbtacks, like I've been as close as I am to you guys.
Yeah,
which is, you know, 95 miles. No, we're actually live together. Been right there, just insane.
And, wow.
Throwing a little guy, little Spike Dudley, into the audience from the ring.
That's awesome.
Wow,
just insane. Also, points for Bubba Ray Dudley. He actually slammed one of the craziest moments. Slammed Mae Young, who's like this...
Oh, yeah, the old wrestler, the
like
old woman.
Like, probably a 70, 80-year-old woman. Slammed her through a table.
Whoa!
Did a seated... I think it was a seated powerbomb through the table off the top rope.
Oh, off the top rope?
I believe it was. It was off the top rope or off the side of the ring.
Holy shit.
Insane. I don't know how she did not die.
She would not have gotten her pension if she didn't go through that match.
Must have been. But just insane. Absolutely friggin' insane.
Holy damn. Shit. What were some of the other tactics? Remember Strike Force with Tito Santana and Rick Martel? Remember them?
That was like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
It was.
Weren't they also called Minority Report?
Because I think that was like the big rivalry was Strike Force versus Demolition. And then the one where...
Was it a big rivalry? Because I don't remember it at all.
I don't I think so. It was that one, and then who else was some of the other tag teams? What's some of the other tag teams we got?
British Bulldogs, Four Horsemen. Yeah,
DX, voting. Two words for you. Suck it!
Ew.
The Rockers.
The Rockers!
Yes!
Marty Jannetty dropping off the face of the earth like Peter Criss.
I think he shows up every now and again still.
Does he?
They put him in like the opening match where he'll just lose to like some mid-level scrub.
He does. He shows up once a year outside collecting for the Salvation Army.
He's still wearing his like neon green fringy tight fucking pink headband.
With the fucking rock and music.
Going back to the whole Mae Young thing, and someone mentioned in the chat room here, there was a whole storyline at one point. There was a point where I think, you know, the comedian Patrice O'Neill was actually writing for them, and it was probably, I don't know, maybe about six years ago, in like the height of the Rock era,
yep.
Stone Cold, and they just had some crazy, crazy storylines, including one where this 80-year-old woman is fucking Mark Henry, who's a big, giant black guy, sexual chocolate, and she proceeds to get pregnant and give birth, and yes, they showed it on TV, to a hand.
What?
Yes.
Wait. What?
You heard me right.
To a hand.
Yeah, as in, he didn't bang her, I guess, but he...
Oh. Yeah.
On TV!
What channel?
USA, or whatever Raw was on.
What was...
Ew.
The WB.
And I feel like it was a white hand, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Now that I think about it.
Ah.
But on a better note, I believe the phone is ringing, folks, and we should have the legendary Roddy Roddy Piper on the line. Hello, it's Masters of None. Roddy.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Hey,
how are you, man?
I'm a box of fluffy ducks. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. I got Jay, Mike, and Art.
Yes, sir.
And all right, you guys got a lot of guts having me on. Well, let me keep your jobs. Hang up now.
Well, the beauty is we don't get paid for this, so.
I got you. We're all on the same page then.
Nice.
Fantastic, man. So you're going to be on the big news right now is that you're going to be on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia this Thursday night, right?
Thursday night, man, at 10 o'clock.
And we are
West Coast time. Very cool show.
Yeah, how'd you get involved with that? Because we're huge fans of the show, and we've just actually been talking old school wrestling for the past 45 minutes, and all huge fans of yours as well. But how'd you get hooked up with Sonny?
Very cool, man. The people in Sonny, for the cast, you know, Rob, Charlie, Glenn, Danny DeVito. If you go on YouTube for folks out there, you can see in 1985 where Danny DeVito was doing a interview about Captain Lou Albano. I think it was right after WrestleMania, the very first one. And I burst in and spit all over spit in the camera, and I only got a towel on, you know, home of the Whopper, baby. Here I come out in all my glory. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, you guys can look and figure it out. So this is the first time I saw Danny since then.
Did he get you back?
So he brought a towel on set for me.
Nice.
I actually, you know, I got to tell the truth. This is a very hip show in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
They had asked to see me, and they asked if I would read for it.
Nice.
You know, and when there was a show Tom Hanks did about a girl baseball team during the Second World War.
Bosom Buddies?
Donna was in it, and they had her read for it.
Okay.
And it was kind of, for me, it was a... You know, I haven't done that for 20 years or more.
Right.
And I suck at it.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, run, spot, run. I improv. sure, give it to me. And I read for it. I competed for it. And they picked me.
So who are you up against?
I heard that Kevin Nash and Bill Goldberg had tried for it.
Nice.
And, of course, some very talented actors.
Yeah, but neither of those guys is as good on the mic as you ever were.
Yeah, they can't ad-lib for crap.
bless your heart. I ended up snatching the part and rolled right into it. And they're great. They're unbelievable cast. I was saying earlier, when I came on, the first scene in the bar, when you catch the show, I came on, I guess, a little strong because they didn't know me at all. And I scared Charlie. Charlie there, he had to change his pants. Like halfway through the bar scene, you know, you want to check out the eyes on Charlie because I lost eyes with him and I didn't mean no harm. I got kids, man. I wouldn't hurt nobody like that. Poor Charlie, I don't know, man. You know, something get clear. Bring Charlie back to life. Danny kind of stayed a little bit away because, you know, when you see the YouTube interview, you'll understand. But babe, bottom line is, Charlie broke up. And it formed a bond because they broke the scene down and it kind of cleared the ice, you know. So the rest of it was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Did you get to ad lib a lot? Like, did you get to kind of play with the script a little bit, or was it kind of straightforward?
No, I'm an ad libbing fool, man. so are they, and they had no problem jumping in. There was a couple of scenes where I don't know what they'll show you Thursday, but there was one scene where I said, "Let me get a little darker," and going to a bar, and I said something to the effect that you remind me of my kids, and they said, "You got kids anymore?" And I said, "No, I don't got no kids no more," and I walked away, and they looked at each other, and one guy said, "What, did he eat them?" So we just kept rolling with that, and I ended up hitting one of the guys in the privates with a motorcycle helmet with barbed wire on it. Didn't know he was... It was Charlie again, actually.
No wonder
Charlie
he's so
paid scared. Dues for this one. And I think that they'll show you part of that. Know that the first time it was just... It just happened. I was whipping around from a station wagon, and this big steel, nasty barbed wire on this helmet nailed him square. He bent over, and I'm trying to pick him up and slam him down with his heels to kind of alleviate the pain. But I don't know if they're going to show you that.
Hopefully that'll be on the DVD extras.
Maybe.
This episode sounds wacky.
Probably doesn't have kids.
Right on. So we were just reminiscing, of course, about the old days. And so obviously your money on the microphone. And we were wondering how much of the old Piper's Pit segments were ad lib as compared to scripted. Was it kind of you have the idea, then you just do your own thing?
Man. All
of it.
All were. Nobody, no wrestlers wanted to go on. I'll tell you how it happened. It's ridiculous. I was in a bar with Vince McMahon Jr. And they, like Schultz had slapped Stossel and Orndorff and Morocco and Food. I mean, it was a den of the pit of ill repute. These guys are nasty and they're competitive guys. And so I'm in this bar in St. Louis. I said to McMahon, I tell you what, you give me a bow tie and a mic stand 5 weeks. If I don't get the job done, I'm out of here.
Nice.
Then I forgot I said it. And I came to TV, and you do 3 weeks of TV in the same day. Little industry secret there. It's a long day, too. And then go, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Oh, that was a long day. The land of a thousand dancers.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So I forgot I come to TV, and the Piper's Pit set that you folks know was there, and the microphone on the chair. And I went, oh, jeez, what am I going to do? And Frankie Williams comes out. I'm going... Now, Frankie Williams is the only Puerto Rican I know that's got freckles. And oh, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I look at Frankie. We're on the air. We've got 2 minutes and 54 seconds. What am I supposed to say? Well, so, Frankie, where are you from? Frankie says, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. You got a winner. No, right away, you could have said I rode over from San Juan to New York, like they all drove a cab for a while, got enough money to get to Ohio. He didn't say that. He, with a Puerto Rican accent, told me he's from Columbus, Ohio. And I just wrote, you know, you're a coward. You never won a match. Now, nobody was. One time I was doing it, just click there for a second. I was doing an interview when I was younger with a guy named Paul Jones, and he was older, and I was talking about his age, and I said, you know, Paul Jones, every time he passes the cemetery, two guys chase him with shovels. Well, oh yeah, he didn't find the humor in it. And he pulled me aside for like 30 minutes and proceeded to tell me why I shouldn't say that and it doesn't draw any money. Point is, those comments were out of text. They wouldn't let me say, you know, Hogan, I brought a bottle of Rogaine on for Hogan. And, oh yeah, they cut it out. You know, he's talking about my kilt, saying it's a dress. So there was rules. Well, when I said to Frankie, you suck, you never won a match, that broke those rules.
Yeah, you definitely pushed some boundaries on there.
A little bit. So yeah. Frankie got so hot, I pushed him through the curtain, and he came like the predator back to try to take me out. And we got into it, and I think I turned and said something. No, what did I say? So, I don't know. Every time you got the answers, I changed the question. Something like that.
Yep.
Well, holy cow.
Catchphrase is born.
There was one with Andre, and then Andre was doing this joke around the dressing room. I mean, it wasn't a good joke, but he's a big guy, so everybody laughed. And he would go around the dressing room and tell me, how you doing? He'd go, none of your business.
Wow.
Well, we got on the pit, Piper's Pit, and I said something about how you doing. He goes, none of your business. So it was an inside, so I said, you know, big guy, teeny weeny little brain. Andre didn't like that. There's two sayings. One is, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The little guys say that, like me. Andre says, yeah, but they don't fall so often. Okay. I saw Andre one time with toilet paper. Nah, we can't go there. There's a lady on the phone and probably a lot of ladies listening.
Roddy, you were big into, you know, like, well, you were one of the most quotable wrestlers ever. I mean, you have some great lines, especially... about Ric Flair. You once called him the Mae West of wrestling, which I thought was hysterical. But also, too, you got away with a lot of stuff. I don't understand. Like, if you did some of this stuff today, you'd be so fired.
I've been fired five times. I'm proud of that. Yeah.
Like, for example, you wrestled Bad News Brown, and you came out half in black paint. How did you do that? How did you get away with that?
You want to hear the story?
I do, please.
We all do.
Oh, man, that was pretty good story. I'm walking down the hallway of some arena, maybe the Hoosier Dome, and I'm just walking down the hall, minding my own business, and Pat Patterson comes out of a door. The Piper, I need to talk to you. I come in the door, and there is Vince McMahon sitting down with Pat Patterson and Bad News Brown, and I sit down. And you could have cut the air with a knife. Something's going on, but Rod's oblivious. So he says, I want you to wrestle Bad News Brown. Now, it was like the kiss of death. I'm looking at Bad News Brown, and I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking to myself. First of all, there's something going on, and second of all, Bad News Brown is a great judo player. He's in the Olympics. I got all the respect in the world for him. He's a wrestler. He sucked. I'm going, oh, geez, I got 4 weeks of interviews to do. I got 90 interviews to do with this guy. What the hell am I going to do? That's what's going through my head. I'm not a racist. I never. So McMahon ain't saying nothing, and Patterson's, and Bad News Brown, he looks like Spanky. I just see his big eyes, man. And he's looking at me, and I said, I'm going to paint myself half black. This McMahon turned to me, and he says, I love you.
Wow.
It gets worse or better, depending on. So I get myself paid. I do all these interviews, and I do, like, you know, True Colors I'm singing, and Hey, Good for Nelson Mandela. Obviously, Bad News Brown ain't listening to any of this. And it comes time for the match. Vince McMahon has this special solution made up in this chemist shop where the black that you put on exactly half, straight down my body, I had everything done in half. I have a joke.
Literally.
And, yeah, and then there was a special solution to take that off because they didn't want it coming off when I sweat. Now, before that match, Bad News Brown wanted to shoot, meaning let's go for it. Let's hurt each other. Okay, so let's have some fun. And so I get this solution put on me because Bad News Brown thought, my point is, thought I was being a racist. And listen, I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It's Indian, okay? Damn them Indians, no. there ain't no black folks there. Nobody's stupid enough. It's 60 below. No black folk are stupid enough to go and live there. Only white people because the sun never shines. I never saw a black gentleman until, I don't know, I went to Texas when I was 16. I'm not prejudiced. But I couldn't tell Bad News Brown that. So, gets worse. I'll get the story over. Go out and wrestle. Bad News Brown and Andre the Giant had some kind of connection. So I wrestle, I get back, and there's the, you know, to a lackluster match. You know, the only thing I did, I danced like Michael Jackson, trying to spruce it up a bit. So everybody just thought I was having spasms. It was pitiful. Anyway, so it's time to get the solution, get this stuff off me. Well, the lady's rubbing my face. About 10 minutes, my face starts bleeding. I go, I get hot. I'm still half black. Now, this was in Toronto, Canada. I live in Portland, Oregon. I got drunk that night. I'm half black, and it's sticking. And I got up the next morning, and I had a 4-foot Mickey Mouse under my left arm, my daughter, a Halliburton in my right, and I'm half black in blue jeans and cowboy boots, fucking through the customs. They parted like the Nile. I kid you not. Through Chicago, down that terminal of the International, because I'm coming from Toronto, the little lights, dee, 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 here I'm coming. down the thing that moves, you don't have to walk. And then up the stairs and the stairs that move. And people just got out of, and finally it took 3 weeks to get that stuff off. I went in the sauna and kept rubbing it every day. Andre the Giant and Bad News Brown had hid the solution. It was a clear solution to put water in it. And that's and when I got to the airplane, I had the 4-foot Mickey Mouse, and they tried to make me check it. So I bought a first class seat for Mickey and put him right behind beside me. I fastened him in with his seatbelt. I got a vodka. There I'm half black with Mickey, and I made my way home.
It's gonna be the best story ever.
That's awesome.
A lot of people are like,
what? Other than that, how did you like the opera, Mrs. Lincoln?
Talking with Rowdy Roddy Piper, gonna be on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, FX Networks this Thursday night, and we're all insanely excited about it. Got a question from our chat room that's going on right now. They wanted to know what's the best prank you may have ever pulled or have seen pulled in
Holy cow, man. Best prank. That I can tell.
Well, you can tell them all here. We're a podcast, man. That's the beauty of the internet.
Holy cow, best prank. There's a lot of them. there was a very famous rib war between Jay York and Johnny Valentine. Jay York had messed around with Johnny Valentine, and Johnny came back, or Jay York came back, and Jay had one of those atomizers, those big glass ones with a rubber ball on it that you have. I guess he had the asthma. Okay. Johnny Valentine had had filled that full, poured the stuff out and filled that full of lighter fluid.
Oh,
there's nothing yet. I'll try to get through this quickly so I don't bore you.
Oh.
So Jay comes back, goes, and boom, down he goes. Johnny Valentine always went 45, 50 minutes. Johnny goes to the ring, ha, 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 ha. So a little time goes by, and they're in Calgary. About a month goes by. And, no, excuse me, they're in New York. About a month goes by. Johnny Valentine came to a bar in New York, parked his car. And the bars in New York, like, stay open to 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, Jay York hired a truck, angle iron, arc welding truck, and arc welded angle iron to Johnny Valentine's car, to the parking meters, to the signs, and sat back and smoked a cigarette and watched, and Johnny Valentine comes out about 4:30 in the morning, rather inebriated, and gets in the car and starts the car up, doesn't know anything, and puts it in drive and starts flying. Can't it, puts it in reverse, R for race, you know, and can't figure it out. He comes out, and the way he found it is he tripped over the angle iron and fell on the concrete. Oh, J.R., ha, 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 ha. Time goes by, and they're in Calgary, Canada, and it's wintertime. Jay York has got a convertible Cadillac. Johnny Valentine runs a hose from inside the house where Jay York was partying, and edit, and runs a hose and breaks the little side window of the Cadillac and puts a hose in there. And it fills up. Jay York comes out in the morning, and it's a block of ice.
Oh my God!
So,
wow!
Got to get this right now. Johnny Valentine. Oh, this is sunny in Philadelphia. Let me just. Oof. Oof. Just a second, guys.
That's
pretty stiff. Johnny Valentine. They've done this to Jay. A little time goes by, and they come back, and Johnny Valentine used to do a prank where he defecated. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. So he did this in Jay's boot before he went to the ring.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jay puts the boot on and loses it. Jay fixes himself up, and this is... A lot of folks, old-timers, know this story. And he goes out to his car, and there's a policeman there. And he says to the policeman, "Officer," he says, "I got some M80 firecrackers. Don't worry about it. If I hear a couple of bangs, it's just fooling around." And he gets a sawed-off shotgun.
Oh.
He comes down, and Johnny Valentine's in the shower. Now, you know what a Halliburton is?
No.
Okay, Halliburton is a metal suitcase. Back in the day, if you had a Rolex, cowboy boots, and a Halliburton, you're probably the world's champ.
Okay.
And everybody, because it had a combination lock, everybody from the dressing room would normally combine their jewelry and put it in whoever had a Halliburton to keep it safe.
Okay.
I got it, yeah.
All right. Johnny Valentine had a Halliburton. Halliburton is on a bench, and Johnny Valentine's in the shower, and the bench is next to the outside of the shower. Jay York comes in. He's got a trench coat. Johnny Valentine comes from the shower to the door of the shower, and Jay York brings up the sawed-off shotgun. And Johnny Valentine looks at him, and there's a pause there, a beat and a half. And Johnny Valentine starts laughing. That's what saved his life. Because Jay York later said, he says, "This guy didn't believe I was going to kill him." And Jay York turned the sawed-off shotgun to the Halliburton, and whoop! Blew a hole, all the jewelry in the Halliburton, blew it right out. So now, the promoters have said, "This is going too far."
Okay.
You know, everybody's grabbing their ears. Wong, 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 wong. Little time went by. Hardly races in this dressing room. Holy cow. Back then, a lot of us packed at that time. You could get them on airplanes, and which is the nature of the business. And so Johnny Valentine is in the shower. I got to wind this up. Johnny Valentine is in the shower, and Jay York comes in with a 357. He brings this 357 up. All the boys, Johnny Valentine's last, so all the boys are waiting to get paid. They're all in the locker room. Jay's in the middle of the locker room. Johnny Valentine comes to the door of the shower. Jay says, "You son of a gun, I told you if you ever mess with me again, I'd kill you." And he brings the 357, he goes, "Boom!" Johnny Valentine grabbed his chest, and red started to come out, and he spasmed, and he fell back in the shower. And Jay York's turning around in the dressing room. Harley Race has a piece under his towel, and he's to Jay's far right-hand side, just a little out of peripheral vision. And Jay is turning around with the 57 Magnum, and like he's going to get one of the other boys. And Race kept saying, "Jay, put the gun down." Johnny Valentine's on the floor, and blood's coming out of his chest. Jay keeps turning. Harley Race is about to shoot Jay, and at that time, Johnny Valentine does like the Undertaker. Comes on up. It was a blank in the 357. He had ketchup on that up. End of that rib, man.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah. There's one called Mabel, but you know what? I'll save that for next time.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Yeah. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much. Your website's RowdyRoddyPiper.com, right?
Sure is, man.
Cool, folks. Check that out. And we are, I cannot wait for Thursday night, man. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think it's The Gang Wrestles for the Troops. Is that the title of the show?
Yeah, man. And even got a little wonderfulness in there for the country, you know.
Yep. Nice. I saw the preview last week, and it looks absolutely hysterical. And my eyes lit up, and a huge smile ran across my face when I saw you in that preview, man.
I love you too, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Roddy.
Thanks, Roddy.
God bless you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Wow, dude.
Dude, that is like Jackass before Jackass.
That was
story.
Awesome.
People almost dying several times in the course of a prank war there.
Wow. The ice in the car is gold right there, dude.
That is a sick, sick prank right there. Holy moly.
Shit. What's the chat? Is the chat room blowing up? It's got to be. That was amazing.
Yeah, everyone.
M80s. And shotguns and Halliburtons and all that other stuff.
Halliburtons. I want to use that from now on.
I know where they got one. I know where they got the name of the company now.
Yeah, right.
Very good. All right, so I think there's much more to say after that story.
No.
You guys agree. So that wraps it up. For this episode of Masters of None, I want to thank everybody in the chat room throwing out questions, and thanks to Roddy Piper. Definitely check out It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on FX. I freaking watch it. I'm wearing a Patty's Pub t-shirt right now.
Yeah.
In fact, it's 10 o'clock Eastern time on FX. And check your local listings, everybody.
Thursday.
And we will talk to you next week on Masters of None. I'm Jay for Mike and Art.
Yep.
See ya.
For bonus material and to join us on the forums, log on to mastersofnoneshow.com. Email mastersofnone@simplysyndicated.com. On Twitter and Facebook, we're Masters of None.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.